reporting from the Mellow 94.7 studios in Mandaluyong City. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. My name is Stan.
My name is Ro.
And we're back with a brand new attack this week, a little bit later than normally because of the storm that hit Manila last Thursday. That was a bad, bad one.
Yeah, I was going to go out. I was ready to go to the station, here. And then I start... No, first, my office building outside is... prone to flood. The street outside is really, really prone to flood. And people were saying, I hadn't seen it at that point, but you cannot see the street right before the time I was supposed to leave.
Dude, I was trying to drive my way to the station and there was zero visibility on the road. It was that bad. I didn't like it at all. And I think that, you know, for our safety, our security, mabuti na rin that we were able to postpone it to today.
And today is a sunny day, really, really hot day. Actually, too hot for my own liking, but we're here. The time is now. We're doing this now. Hello, welcome to the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast.
Let's talk about something that just happened very recently, which was yesterday. As of recording, we're huge fans of basketball as well, so we can't help but talk about the NBA draft.
Right. And a lot of things happening at this year's draft. A lot of things happening in every year's draft, but this year seems to be a bit more special than recent drafts.
Well, for one thing, a lot of insiders and critics called it the deepest draft since 2003.
And last year's draft was kind of a meh draft.
Meh is an understatement. Like, last year's draft was a craptastic draft, for sure.
I'm just being nice here. For all the guys who have made it to the NBA and fulfilled their dreams. I don't know to what extent they're successful, but hey, they're in the league, they made it, and good for them. But this year's was better.
One of the highlights, of course, was when Isaiah Austin from Baylor got a ceremonial drafting by the NBA. In case you didn't know, he was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome, and he has a prosthetic right eye as well. Now, with Marfan syndrome, If undetected, it can actually lead to an enlarged heart. And that's not good, whether or not, you know, whether you're a professional basketball player or just a normal person living out a 9-to-5 in an office job.
Or a member of the Backstreet Boys. And, I think enlarged heart. I think someone in the wrestling business was diagnosed with an enlarged heart. I just don't remember who at the moment.
But yeah, and these things, enlarged hearts, you can't have them, you can't leave them undetected. And it's a good thing, kahit papaano, that the doctors were able to diagnose Isaiah Austin while it was early. Unfortunately, he was projected to be a second round pick, but we all know by now he can't play pro ball. Good move, though, on Adam Silver. We have to congratulate NBA Commissioner Adam Silver for going out of his way to invite Isaiah Austin to the draft as his personal guest. And on top of that, in the middle of picks number 15 and 16, he went out and he actually drafted Isaiah Austin on behalf of the NBA.
Hashtag good guy Adam Silver.
Great PR move by the NBA as well. And, you know, in his short time as NBA commissioner, he's been pushing all the right buttons.
Right, I told you that. And it's amazing how much goodwill he's building up. And it's really, how many months has it been?
It's been four or five months.
4 to 5 months of being the new NBA commissioner. And he's been building up so much goodwill. It's amazing just how much, how much different he seems from David Stern.
And there are a lot of differences between Adam Silver, David Stern. Like, David Stern knows how to cut a promo. If he was in the wrestling business, he would know how to cut a promo. Adam Silver has a long way to go. But in terms of the things he's doing for the people, for the NBA community, man, we cannot salute this guy enough.
David Stern reminds me of, a better sounding John Laurinaitis.
Oh, you got a point there.
Right.
That's right, yeah. Another funny moment from the NBA draft yesterday was when the 13th overall pick, Zach LaVine, out of UCLA, was drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, normally when you get drafted by a team, you're supposed to be happy.
You made it to the NBA. You're playing for a major league team. You're getting minutes, kahit papaano. You're supposed to be happy.
And you're getting a guaranteed contract. Yeah. You're a first round pick.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine gets called, right? And then the camera pans at Zach LaVine. His head is buried in his arm. And then the minute that he stands up, you can see him. He actually mouths, fuck me. Like, he says, fuck me.
I wonder how his career is going to pan out as of now.
That's unfortunate. Zach LaVine is a point guard.
Yeah.
And the Timberwolves do have Ricky Rubio. Sayang, because he could learn a lot from Ricky Rubio. And I guess, you kind of feel for the guy because of the crazy front office situation in Minnesota, regardless of who's been their general manager.
Right. And, once upon a time, you would have been, a rookie would have been excited to join the Timberwolves back when KG was in the team at the prime of Kevin Love, I suppose. But
Kevin Love is still in his prime.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he had so much promise for Minnesota.
Right. But then, you know, we all know he wants his way out. And that's, again, that's another thing that's unfortunate. And something beyond our control. One thing within our control, however, is our dream list. Like, if you and I were in the NBA draft, let's pretend for a while now we're a couple years younger than we are right now and that we actually have superior athletic ability. If we were in the NBA draft, which team would you want to draft you?
Easy. You already know the answer to this question. You already know my answer. I would want to be drafted by Chicago.
Regardless of yung position ng pick nila.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you. I actually feel the same way. Like, if I were to be drafted, regardless of what pick the Boston Celtics had, I would want to be a Celtic.
Exactly. See, there you go. We are so predictable in this. Well, predictable to each other, because we know where we would want to go.
Exactly. But at least for you now, for you, our dear listeners, now you kind of have an idea which teams we root for when the NBA season kicks in a high gear.
Right, right. And we're sorry for taking up the first 5 minutes of this episode devoted to basketball.
Yeah, this is still a wrestling podcast at the end of the day. But, you know, we do love our different sports. There are other things outside of wrestling that we also share our love and passion for.
And I'm sure there are some of you. We hope there are some of you. We hope that there are any of you at all who like basketball as well.
Yeah. How about we kick things off this time with a podcast, with a wrestling portion, which is the majority of the SGP podcast.
Right.
This new segment we're debuting.
Right.
We want to call this spots and botches.
Right. It's really simple. The premise is really simple. Spots are the highlights of the high spots of the week so far. And the botches, obviously.
Those are the low blows.
Yeah, the low blows, the things that haven't gone so well this week.
Of course, we got to be fair and acknowledge our inspiration for this segment. Zach Lowe, in his column, he has this segment called The 10 Things I Like and Don't Like. It's kind of a spin-off of that, and we're calling it Spots and Botches to make it appropriate for the SGP podcast.
Right, right, right. And let's begin, shall we?
Let's begin with the first spot from this week, something that Roe over here likes a lot.
Yeah.
It's a nickname.
Yeah, it's a brand new nickname. Kind of a brand new nickname. It's
been around for quite some time.
It's been around, but they've only started to use it now. In reference to Seth Rollins, who is now, as we all know, broken away from the Shield, aligned himself with Triple H.
Yep.
They're starting to call him the Architect.
And they've been calling him the Architect for quite some time.
Yeah, yeah. They've been calling him the Architect of the Shield for quite some time. But now, since there is no more Shield, they just call him the Architect, and that's so badass.
Yeah, there is a cool factor to being called the Architect, even though normally you don't really see architects as guys who can beat people up or as guys who are cerebral. But you know, architects are smart.
Yeah, guys. Barney Stinson was right. How I Met Your Mother fans, Barney was right. The Architect is a really, really cool job title to say after your name, like Ted Mosby, Architect, Seth Rollins, Architect, the Architect, Seth Rollins.
Man, now that I think about it, I wouldn't be surprised if one of the members of Creative is actually a huge fan of How I Met Your Mother, and if this was a nod to How I Met Your Mother.
Well, that would be nice if it were, but I'm not really counting on it. But it would be nice. But I really, really think that this Architect nickname is gonna go places.
Would the Architect as a nickname have worked, Kaya, if it was, let's say, given to another wrestler?
Like an actual architect? Architect turned wrestler? Like, you know, like IRS, tax man turned wrestler.
Mahirap na, di ba? Like IRS. But then again, his name kasi was already in initials, IRS, which was a nod to, you know, his gimmick you know, the reference.
Yeah, but if we gave it to an actual architect wrestler, that would be lame.
Yeah, it would be lame.
You know, there's a Matrix-y feel to it, this architect nickname. I don't know, there's something badass about it. I'm trying to figure out, trying to put my finger on it, but rest assured, I hope that you agree with me, it does sound badass. Say it again with me.
The architect,
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, yeah. It does sound badass. How about let's move to our first botch of the list. I don't like what they're doing to Damian Sandow right now. In case you haven't been paying attention, his current gimmick is basically Charlie Haas version 2.0, where instead of impersonating wrestlers or past wrestlers, he's impersonating local figures.
Right.
So this week he impersonated Abe Lincoln. Mm-hmm. He's impersonated Lance Stephenson. He impersonated Magneto, like right before Days of Future Past premiered. And I think it's a disservice to Damon Sandow as a wrestler.
Well, to be fair with you, and I do mention this in my upcoming column, coming out on Geek Out, that Damian Sandow isn't really that good of a wrestler. There isn't much to be to have a disservice to. He's a good character. He's a good talker. He has charisma. He's really good in the mic. But you know, I think that's what they're using him for at the moment. That he can deliver these funny gimmicks, these funny one-off imitations, and that's what they're using him for. Because when you think about it, when you watch one of those segments, it is entertaining and funny.
No, I get
admit,
that.
You have to admit.
I would admit he is funny. He is entertaining. What I don't like is the fact that you build him up as this superior genius.
Right.
He's supposed to be really smart and everything. Why would he stoop so low as to impersonate local figures to parody them or to be a caricature?
Well, I'm telling you, this is my opinion. I don't think he's that good yet. He needs to improve some more. He needs to get it a bit more. So, I don't know. I don't have that much of a problem with it. I mean, Damon Sandow is a funny guy, entertaining guy. Maybe he could be a main eventer one day if he could salvage himself. But at the moment, I'm not as offended by this as maybe you are.
I just miss the robe. I miss the way he held the mic like a goblet.
Yeah.
I miss the superiority, the verboseness of Damien Sandow's character. I just miss it. So for me, the current gimmick, it's a botch.
Right. Anyway, moving on to our second spot. We've got ROH news, Ring of Honor news. Last Sunday, they had their first PPV, I think. That's what they're calling it. Best in the World 2014. The 2014 edition of the Best in the World series. And the main event saw Michael Elgin defeating ROH champion Adam Cole to be the new champion.
Right. Your thoughts on Michael Elgin as the new ROH world champion? It did make the rounds, and a lot of people from the SGP Facebook group did celebrate this as well. Shout out, by the way, to the boys and girls of Smart Gilas.
What's up, SGP? Right, because I've been saying that it's been quite a long time coming, because Michael Elgin does not work the traditional indie style has been going around, you know, in the late 2000s, mid to late 2000s, you know, really spot monkeying match style. He's more of a traditional power wrestler, a throwback to the days of the strongman. And I really did want him to succeed. I knew he was going to succeed. I knew he was going to succeed one day. But at the time, when I was still watching ROH regularly, he was still in the mid-card, and it would be a bit longer before he could reach the main event. And now he's here, and now I can't be any more happier for him.
Let's pretend to be scouts. NBA draft, you have scouts. In the WWE, you have scouts. Let's put on our scouting hats.
Right.
And let's pretend that you're trying to describe Michael Elgin to the ROH newcomer, or to somebody who's more familiar with mainstream wrestling and not necessarily in touch with the indies. So how would you describe Michael Elgin? And
if we were to compare Michael Elgin to a WWE superstar, I would compare him to Taz and Big E.
Okay.
He's a big dude, but he's not tall.
Okay.
A lot of the independence guys are kind of cruiserweights. They're kind of around that build. They're not really the big bodybuilder types.
So you have examples like Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, these guys who came from ROH.
Right. Dean Ambrose. Guys like Luke Harper are outliers, and Michael Elgin is one of those outliers. But he's not, again, as I said, he's not tall, but he works a different enough style to stand out in ROH and in independence.
All right, scouting hat on, what are his chances of making it to the big leagues?
If we didn't have any more need of guys like Big E, you know, if Big E would be obsolete in the WWE, I think he could make it, but he needs to improve a bit on his charisma and mic skills, because he's got the in-ring skills, he's got the power skills, but he needs a bit more work developing his character.
All right, one last thing. Michael Elgin, is he a babyface or a heel?
At the moment, I think he's a face. Uh-huh. I'm not sure at the moment, but he seems to be a face.
All right. You ready to go to our next botch on the list?
Right, let's do it.
All right, next botch on the list. If you saw the match between Naomi and Alicia Fox on WWE Raw, you'd have probably noticed that both Divas Champion Paige and Cameron, they were there on commentary.
Right.
It was horrible. Cameron particularly was horrible. I hated her on commentary. I think she didn't really add value. Like, yeah, she was a bitch. Yeah, she was being very, very aggressive and very... very abrasive towards Paige and pretty much everybody who tried to talk to her, but she wasn't doing it in a way that made me want to hate her character. They made me want to hate her. Get some more.
And I'm telling you, I've been telling you before, and I think this is how you get a heel over nowadays, that you have to make people hate you. And if we're talking about that, and I have to say that I have no problem with how Cameron acted in the commentary booth.
my thing is, I mean, you can be a heel by being psychological. And like, you know, when Paul Heyman sits down on commentary, he can say things that will make you hate him as a heel. When Seth Rollins sits there on commentary, he still gets the heat because of what he did to the Shield.
Right.
As for Cameron, parang wala pa siyang ginagawa. Like, she hasn't done anything concrete to make fans actually hate her.
Well, she was trying. And she was trying to develop her heel character.
I don't know.
You gotta start somewhere. And this being the Divas division, you take what we can get.
I mean, yeah, I get it that, you know, to be a woman who's a bad guy, to be a diva who's a bad guy, you have to be catty, you have to be a bit bitchy and show that side of you. But there could have been a better way of doing it.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give her more credit than this might be due. But she was trying to build up the character, so... And, well, she did kind of sound annoying. And couple of those, and you got a heel in the making. There is room for improvement, no doubt. But it was a start. It was a start. I'm going to give it to her. It was a start.
I know she's turning on Naomi very, very soon. That's something that we're going to be expecting. But I just wish that she would have just said some unique things that she hindi niya inulit-ulit yung sinasabi niya. And I think that's something that all of us are guilty of every now and then.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm going to close the book on Cameron on commentary right now. It's a botch for me this week. Fine, let's give her some room to improve. But let's get on to our next spot on this list.
Right. On main event this week, Dolph Ziggler cut a promo before a big tag match. Right. He cut this promo about winning Money in the Bank, the Money in the Bank contract briefcase. And it was kind of similar to The Rock's promo against John Cena like two to three years ago about how he says he needs to beat John Cena in order to further legitimize his career.
You know what? I like that promo. I saw it when you told me to catch it. It was worth watching. And if you can find it right now online, do find an episode of Main Event from this week. Watch that Dolph Ziggler promo. Whether you like Ziggler or whether you hate him, just to make it clear, I am a Ziggler fan, but it made me care so much more for the guy.
Yeah, he really expressed some passion for wrestling. That's something you don't really find in promos a lot anymore.
Uh-huh.
Only you find them in the promos of underdogs. Guys who don't have a chance to
win. But Ziggler is an underdog.
Yeah,
right
I know,
now.
I know. But I'm saying that you don't really hear it anymore.
Uh huh.
Nowadays.
You know what the best part of that promo was for me?
What?
The best part was it made it difficult for me to distinguish Nick Nemeth from Dolph Ziggler.
Okay.
Like when he was doing that, when he was cutting that promo, giving that speech, I felt like both guys were saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. Like for me, it's good because it's some people would hate on Smarks for claiming that they know too much of what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But this is one of those times where I think that layer, that lens of being a Smark, kind of adds another layer to you watching his performance. Like, it makes you appreciate it so much more.
Yeah, I know that he wants to, you know, win the big one. He wants to be on top. And he's fighting so hard, putting in so much effort into trying to do that. And when you hear this promo about how he wants to win it so bad, about how he needs to get back on top, you can only help but feel for him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Another botch for this week, we were talking about the Money in the Bank ladder match for this Sunday's pay-per-view. How about the Bad News Barrett injury?
Yeah.
That was a lot of bad news.
Bad news. We are afraid to say that he has a separated shoulder, and we don't know if he's going to make it in time for Money in the Bank. Chances are he won't be.
At best, it's doubtful. Yeah.
Sayang lang because he's been getting so good lately.
And the gimmick has caught on.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody says, you know, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Everybody's doing it. He's having this run again with the Intercontinental Championship after being irrelevant for close to a year.
Right.
And it's just a shame to see Bad News Barrett go down again in the middle of this run and right when he's actually one of the favorites to win the Money in the Bank ladder match.
I have a feeling, though, that when he comes back, he will come back as a face.
Kasi naawa ng mga tao sa kanya.
No, and not that, not just that, but as you said, the whole "I'm afraid I've got some bad news" gimmick has been really catching fire lately.
It is money.
Yeah, right.
I like it.
Right, and even if he didn't get injured, I think he would be turning face sooner or later.
How about the way that Bad News Barrett got injured? We do know by now that he got injured during the latest SmackDown taping because of Jack Swagger.
Right. Always Jack Swagger. Well,
it's the second time. Yeah. It's the second time that a wrestler who was on the rise has been injured and might have to be taken out of action because of Jack Swagger. The first one being Dolph Ziggler sometime last year.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Is this a reflection of how safe or not safe Jack Swagger is in the ring? Has he been regressing lately?
You know what? I actually want to throw this open question out there. If you're listening, do tweet us your response. Should Jack Swagger be penalized for these kinds of actions? Like, should he be penalized for not being safe enough of a worker such that his opponents are getting injured left and right?
Now, you know what? I think he already is, in a way. The fact that he doesn't have that much success as a single superstar lately or anything else, I think that is his penalty for not being so safe in the ring.
All right, okay. I think that's fair. I think that is enough of a penalty. I hope he's more motivated to actually get his shit together because he's actually getting in the way of other people's careers with what he's doing.
Well, in wrestling, this is how they penalize it. I mean, if you're not that good in the ring, if you're not popular backstage, you have to job out. You're going to get jobbed out day in and day out. And if he jobs out more than he does now anytime soon in the near future, then that's when we'll know he's being penalized for his actions.
Like, he's actually in the doghouse. I don't know. I would have expected a fine, like, you know, but it's legit, like, you know how in sports when you do something bad, you either get suspended or you get fined. But okay, I mean, that's fair. I know that wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling has its own way of correcting itself.
It's got its own rules, its own bylaws.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, that's fair. For now, though, I think it would be, you know, it would be okay to call him like a push killer of some sorts.
Right, I guess.
How about this, though, as a spot? Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose don't get their one-on-one match just yet. I like the fact that they're incorporating the feud into the Money in the Bank ladder match.
I'm sure that was never the plan as of now. Because, you know, we had the MITV match. And there's no way you would keep two stars of their caliber out of a big match like that.
Yeah, but I was actually afraid that heading into the pay-per-view, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins will have their one-on-one match right then and there.
That is not best for business.
It's not.
I'm sure Triple H knew better than that.
I'm glad that they're kind of prolonging it, I guess, by inserting this element into the match and into their feud. I'm still hoping and praying that Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns will have their one-on-one or triple threat match or whatever it is that blows off their feud finally at SummerSlam.
Right.
Hopefully it's not for the title.
It won't. I hope not. I really, really hope not. A potential triple threat match between Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, that should be a WrestleMania match.
It should be a WrestleMania match. Now, whether or not that's for the title is a different question altogether. But that's something that we can probably get into like somewhere down the road.
Right. Okay. Moving on to our next botch. I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but you should, given the way they've been repeating it over and over. People have been calling Kane on screen as the Demon Kane. Every time you mention Kane, you have to call him the Demon Kane. I think you can make a drinking game out of this.
You know, I'm not a fan of that nickname. I mean, we were raving about the Architect earlier.
Yeah.
But the Demon Kane is on the other end of the spectrum.
No. I mean, I get it. He's a demon. You know, he's from hell. Okay, it's a badass nickname by itself. Okay, sure. But the moment you start repeating it over and over, his new name is the Demon Kane, not just Kane, but the Demon Kane. It loses its power.
Next thing you know, Justin Roberts calls him out as the Demon Kane.
Exactly.
When he has
his intro. That's so stupid. You know how stupid that sounds?
Right, it is stupid.
You call him the Demon Kane every once in a while on commentary. But to call him the Demon Kane every time you refer to him is so grinding. It's so grating in the ears.
When you think about it, though, Kane has had many nicknames over the years. I mean, he's had one consistent gimmick, but he's been called the Devil's Favorite Demon.
Right.
He's been called the Big Red Monster.
Right.
Another nickname I don't like, by the way. What I do like was the Big Red Machine. That's what I did like.
Yeah, but okay, even if you take all the cool nicknames like and then you say them over and over, like, "Hey Roman, what do you think about the Devil's Favorite Demon Kane? Hey Roman, I'm going to send out the Devil's Favorite Demon Kane out to get you."
Nakasawa.
Isn't that annoying?
Yeah.
So fucking annoying.
It is. I get that. I just wish they would stop. I mean, we get it. He's a demon.
But how many times do you have to say he's a Demon Kane for us to get it? I got it the first time. Seriously.
You know what? The next time we actually get together and watch a pay-per-view or watch a live Raw or a live main event or SmackDown or whatever, we can probably make a great drinking game out of this.
It's like, you know, taking a shot every time Michael Cole says vintage.
Or every time Michael Cole promotes a WWE app.
Exactly. And so stupid. All right, moving on.
Moving on to our next spot on this list of our spots and botches. How about Stardust? He didn't have a match on Raw.
No, he didn't. I was expecting a match on Raw because I wanted to see more of how Cody works as Stardust. Yeah, we didn't get that, but we did get a promo, though. A really, really short interview.
A very, very short interview with Byron Saxton, I believe. And I liked how Goldust said, I'm the normal one now.
You know, last week I said that I hope this leads to, you know, the brotherhood becoming stronger. And I really hope that this happens because it does seem like Cody is enjoying his new character both on screen and off screen.
He's not just enjoying it, he's actually maximizing it and milking it for all it's worth. I mean, he's changed his Twitter handle now, by the way, to Stardust WWE.
Oh, really? And I think I unfollowed Cody. Anyway, I think I did. He wasn't really a captivating tweeter, if you ask me. But yeah, I think he's really enjoying it because it's something different. It's not boring. He can have fun with it. So yeah, good on you, Cody.
We're having a lot of fun watching him as Stardust, so I'm looking forward to seeing more and to see him compete against Ryback at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Which we'll talk about in a bit.
And our last botch into this list, which I think also deserves a specific topic all on its own. The biggest botch on this list belongs to Jerry the King Lawler.
Jerry the King Lawler. Some things never change.
Some things never changed indeed. Never changed indeed. And on Raw, well, if you didn't notice, during the match between Naomi and Alicia Fox, Paige was sitting right next to Jerry the King Lawler. And when she got up and she was making her way to the ring, King was ogling at Paige's ass.
You don't really see it for like more than, I don't know, a half a moment, I guess, but it's there.
But there are GIFs on the internet right now, and they're making their ways. Hell, Jerry Lawler screen capped the moment and he tweeted it. And he said, and I quote, "Best seat in the house, ... mine and hers."
Right. And, you know, it's problematic because, come on, guys, it's 2014. Should we still be promoting this kind of thing on television, much less PG television?
And what kind of example does Jerry Lawler want to set? I mean, he's supposedly a legend in the business. I mean, sure, he's had history of him being, being misogynistic, you know, a womanizer, all of that. But to do that to a female character who's supposed to be a role model for these women.
Supposed to be strong female character.
And she's 21 years old, for God's sake.
Yeah, God. Well, you know what? Before we go further into this, you might be thinking, like, what right does Stan and Ro have to be on a high horse condemning other guys for ogling girls?
I mean, I love Paige myself. She's like in my fave five, and I like looking at her pictures on her pictures in the internet. But there is, Jerry Lawler crossed a line because he did it in a public place, in a public avenue.
I mean, like, hey, Stan and I love girls as much as the next guy. We love hot girls. We love sexy girls. We love their curves. We love ogling at them.
We admire them.
Yeah, we admire girls. And we do the things guys do. And we're not washing our hands off of that. But we're not going to be tasteless about it. As much as possible, we're not going to be tasteless about it. And not as tasteless as King did at Raw.
I think the biggest negative and the biggest offense that he committed was the fact that he had to do it in such a public place, and he publicized it. And
he's even proud of it, right?
Right, he's even proud of it. The worst part is Paige retweeted that shot, and she actually acknowledged it. And you could tell that if you know how wrestling works behind the scenes, or if you have an idea how wrestling works behind the scenes, dun lumalabas yung old boys background of wrestling, where she had to do that. She had to be a sport about it, even though it was wrong.
Maybe she felt flattered, but in a way, I'm sure she would have felt that she would be better off without something like that.
Right. I mean, she knew what was best for her business, so she just kept her mouth shut, acknowledged it, and just moved on instead of actually asking King for an apology or whatever.
Because, look at it this way. You have a daughter, and your old guy friend, who is about your age, maybe you're
who's
50.
Old enough to be her father, by the way.
Yeah, and he's your guy friend, right? And he checks your daughter out and does that in public and is proud of it.
And he celebrates it.
How do you feel about that?
Something very, very wrong with that picture.
Let me just say, I don't know if I can speak for Stan here, but as much as we love girls, as much as we love hot girls, sexy girls, as much as we even love porn, we're going to put it out there.
Let's put it out there.
We're guys. And I'm sure, guys and girls the same watch porn. But even though we look at girls that way, we wouldn't want to perpetuate this kind of behavior. Because, I don't know if I can speak for Stan, but I would want a daughter in the future. I want a daughter in the future, and I wouldn't want her to be mistreated that way.
I wouldn't want to stand for misogynistic behavior. Like, we do make a lot of misogynistic jokes, and I would own up to that.
Yeah, me too.
We make a lot of these jokes, and, they're funny, fine. We get it. We can talk about these things in private. But my biggest issue is, my background is more of a PR standpoint.
Like,
as a company and as a public figure, Jerry the King Lawler and the WWE, what kind of message do you send when you allow your personalities to do these things and to celebrate them on social media?
Right, and in a way, we're kind of perpetuating rape culture, I think.
No, yeah, I totally agree.
Right. I mean, okay, we're not going to be the be-all, end-all source for this kind of talk, but I don't like rape culture. I don't like the idea of raping anyone, girls or boys. And the more we objectify women like this, at least in public, and encouraging it to be in public or to be proud of it as a society, it's not cool. That's not cool.
The way I see it, we're not exactly putting ourselves on a high horse as much as we're speaking out about this and speaking up about it. And I think that the worst thing you can do when something like this tries to make its way into society is to keep silent about it. Because silence in this case, in situations like this, silence is kind of tantamount to apathy. And when you remain silent, it's kind of like you're condoning it. Kinukonsinti mo yung bagay. And I think at the end of the day, somebody has to speak up, and people do have to make their presence felt and make their voices heard. Na tama na, because you know it's not right, it's inappropriate, and things have to change.
Well, for all we know, like, we can't speak for Paige as well. Maybe she's a sexual person. Maybe she's, you know, maybe she's really genuinely okay with that. But maybe there are other girls who aren't. There are for sure other girls who aren't. And we just can't go on doing this and assuming it's okay for everyone to do this to every girl.
I think regardless of whether or not Paige is sexual, I think that's an irrelevant fact.
No, I'm saying because I guess maybe it's okay for her.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm getting what you're saying, but the way I would look at it is the mere fact that you're a public figure, the mere fact that people do look up to you, and that you're being built and being packaged as a role model for females, for women everywhere. You can't allow for something like this to harm your image, especially because it doesn't empower women. It doesn't empower you as an individual.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make Paige look strong. You know what I'm saying? She's supposed to be a champion. She's supposed to stand tall as a champion. And it doesn't do her any favors.
Right, like all of these other heel characters and all these other divas are not giving her respect, not showing her respect. And, you know, she tries to fight them off. She kicks their asses for it. And yet this 60, 65-year-old gentleman, supposedly, ogles your ass and you're okay with it. There's clearly something very wrong in that picture.
Yeah, no. We're also, I mean, like, we can't assume that. Maybe it's okay, talaga. I mean, you know, maybe she's proud of it. You can't also assume unless she says something. But yeah, it's not okay for everyone else. It's most likely not okay for every other girl. You know, it's just something we can't assume is okay.
And I guess the most we can do naman as outsiders, as people who do watch this and people who are not directly involved, it's really just to, you know, to take a step back and to say, you know what, this is wrong, and to do things on our own. Parang, if we're gonna do something about it, we do it ourselves, because I hate to sound all cliche about this, but change has to start from within.
Right. Anyway, I'd like to also make an observation that one of the things WWE fails at is not recognizing, or rather, they fail at recognizing what should be a face. And a face should be reflective of the good qualities of contemporary society.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? A face in 2014 has to be, you know, tolerant.
Yeah.
You know, not bigoted, not racist, not sexist, not, you know, not misogynist. Things like that. What stands for good today in this day and age? A face in wrestling, I believe, should be reflective of that. Should embody that.
And it's always been that way. Like the way that the way that professional wrestling has always been structured traditionally is the good guys, these baby faces, are supposed to represent what's good in society, whereas the heels represent what's bad in society. And the problem
is, you know, Vince McMahon and the old boys club are still stuck in their old ways. Like, they think it's still the 70s or the 80s or whatever era they're stuck in. And that's where the disconnect happens.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's what's getting people to call Cena misogynist for calling Eve Torres a hoski. That's slut shaming.
Yeah, it is. And thank you for mentioning that. Naka disconnect nga, now that I think about it, that John Cena is supposed to be like everybody's favorite hero, and yet he goes around with his high horse slut shaming people and telling people that, you know, this person is a hoski. Yeah.
You know, yeah, exactly. And John Cena has to be a face that embodies the good values of society in 2014 and beyond.
So, yeah, go now taking that argument and bringing it to Jerry Lawler, I don't know, it kind of doesn't make sense now to keep him as a face commentator. I mean, he's been doing that role for quite some time, but I don't know.
When he was a heel, and he would say, puppies.
It would work.
It would work, okay, because he's a dirty old man doing dirty old things.
Right, but now that he's supposed to be this good guy that everybody cheers for, supposedly.
He's supposed to be this good grandpa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be this good grandpa.
Kind of like what Jim Ross was.
Yeah, and I'm sure you wouldn't hear good old JR, you know, saying that or ogling someone's ass.
No, he wouldn't. Because he would treat these young ladies as if they were his own granddaughters. Or as if they were his own daughters, for that matter.
And if some things never change, then you have to get rid of that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's all we have to say on the matter because we have said our piece. But we would want to hear you chime in on the matter. Do tweet us if you have something, if you have your two cents on this topic that you want to talk
about. I'm sure this is going to be a controversial discussion if you ever would like to start a discussion on this. I'm sure we might have said some things that maybe
you don't necessarily agree with.
Yeah, you don't necessarily agree with. Maybe could be wrong, or we're gonna admit that we're not the experts on
feminism.
On feminism or equality. Or, you know, and we're not even the most perfect human beings in the world. We're not the most perfect gentlemen either.
So you can say that, you know, we can talk all we want, but we got to back up our talking. And that's fine. That's cool. You know, you're entitled to that opinion. But do let us know at least what you think. Our Twitter handles are at Stan947.
And at Rosewar.
And you can also find us on Facebook. Do talk to us on Smart Gilas Pilipinas. We have a Facebook group where everybody just talks about these things on a daily basis. Hell, we talked about this ourselves the day after it happened. It's facebook.com/groups/SmartGilasPilipinas.
And if we're wrong, please do tell us why we're wrong. We'd love for you to educate us. And, you know, education goes both ways. You can never learn too much.
I agree.
And you can never say you know too much.
How about we get to some lighter topics now? Let's talk about predictions for Money in the Bank. It's happening in about 2 days from the time of recording this. So
right.
I'm excited to get to this card. I think it's an okay card. It's not exactly stacked, but you can expect a lot from this pay-per-view because Money in the Bank has always been exciting year in, year out.
It's top-heavy, that's for sure, because all the big stars are in both Money in the Bank matches, but that leaves the undercard, again, where everything is not really completely fleshed out.
Plus, Daniel Bryan's back. He will be at the kickoff, and he'll be addressing the injury situation and the fact that he vacated the WWE Championship.
I hope the news is good.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
So let's get this out of the way and go to the very, very unstacked undercard. How about Big E and Rusev in a rematch from last month?
You know what? I don't care if Rusev is slated to win all his matches. I just want this to be a competitive match because I'm sure Rusev isn't as bad as some people may think. He has a different style. He has, you know, an orthodox wrestling style that kind of revolves around, you know, martial arts strikes and some of the old traditional WWE style. So there's a mixture. And I'm sure given the right opponent, he could work a decent match. And Big E is no slouch in the ring either. He's really agile for a big man. And I also want to see him in a more extended capacity.
I like Big E. I think he's very athletic. You know, despite the stocky nature, he brings something new to the table in the sense that he's unusually agile and athletic as a big guy, especially with his kind of build. But I would have to give to Rusev because obviously they're building him up. What I do want to see, though, is Big E going back into the Intercontinental title picture or maybe in the U.S. title picture. And for Rusev, I want to see Rusev feud against Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger.
Okay, that means Swagger and Coulter will be turned faces, right?
Which is okay, which is something I don't really have a problem with. You know, let's forget.
No,
for a
I
while.
Do have I do have a problem with it because it's gonna mean that you're gonna make the xenophobic Americans good guys against the foreigners, and that's exactly playing into what you know conservatives and racists want. You know.
Shit, I never thought about
that.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Evil foreigner versus good guy white American. That's not going to fly anymore in 2014. It shouldn't fly anymore in 2014.
What if they retcon it, though, and try to move Coulter and Swagger away from the xenophobic nature and try to turn them into, like, uber-nationalists?
Well, yeah, there's no winning with the stupid... not stupid, but it's a good heat magnet. The controversial... real Americans gimmick and the really, really simplistic evil Russians gimmick of Rusev and Lana. There's no winning in that situation. It's really, really dumbed down.
I don't think that it's still controversial in this day and age, though. Like, I mean, fine, the real American gimmick was controversial last year when it first debuted, but I think it's neutered out over the last 18 months.
Well, it's going to be more reasonable for them to be faces now that, you know, Russia is still more of a bad guy in the real world.
In the geopolitical scene.
Right, but we still can't. It's not as black and white as that anymore. It's not as cut and dry as that anymore. And if we encourage that sort of thinking, we're not going to get anywhere.
Okay. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't predict the match.
Yeah, you didn't.
Rusev is going to win, but I just want a more competitive match.
Something that lasts longer than 4 or 5 minutes,
Big
I hope.
Big E should not be squashed. He's a big guy. He's an agile guy. He should not be squashed by one, you know, big side slam and one accolade.
Fine. How about we wish, we hope, we pray that the other black guys just come out. Like, have Xavier Woods, R-Truth, and maybe Kofi come in.
Start the new Nation of Domination table. Right?
That would be fun. I would like that.
That would be a nice development. We do need more teams right now.
We do need more factions as well. Next match on the undercard, how about Summer Rae and Layla going at it with Fan Nango as a special guest referee? This has been a long time coming.
Yeah. It's not really the biggest storyline.
No, it's not.
I don't know, but it has been a long time coming, and I think Summer is going to get this one.
Yeah, I think she would get this too, and I want to see the reactions. We talked about this last time,
yeah.
The sudden turn topic. And I would want to see Summer Rae come out of this, and I hope she comes out of this with a good face pop.
It's not like we care that much, but I do think, yeah, that Summer Rae is going to win.
Up next, Rybacksel versus Goldust and Stardust.
No doubt that Goldust and Stardust are going to take this one home.
I can't wait to see this match, and I would have to agree with your prediction as well. It's Goldust and Stardust to lose. I want to see how, you know, Goldust and Stardust mesh with each other once again.
I think they're going to do great.
And I think Rybacksel has proven as they've come out as a good foil for them over the last several months. And that's something to their credit as well, because a lot of people have been throwing crap towards Ryback and towards Curtis Axel at how subpar they are as wrestlers. But, you know, as a team, we've talked about this before, they seem to be complementing each other. And not just each other at this point, they're also complementing Goldust and Stardust right now.
And if they drop the ball on Stardust, they're going to be losing something special, because it's already been a big hit from the start. I've not seen a negative reaction to Stardust at all. And that's amazing, because when you look at it, at first glance, the Stardust gimmick is supposed to be made to fail.
And it was supposed to be ridiculous, but it's not. That's the beauty of it.
And this is a good example of a character who is actually a character backed up by the talent, the in-ring talent of the wrestler, of Cody Rhodes.
Amen. Amen to
and
that.
And I can only hope that more characters are as good as Rhodes.
I'm glad you mentioned character, because I'm going to segue into the next match, which is the match for the Divas Championship. As much as I love Paige, as much as I really appreciate her as a wrestler and as a Divas Champion, she still doesn't have a character, other than the fact that she is the champion who people don't necessarily respect.
And that is none of her. It's not her fault.
It's not exactly her fault.
She's had a character down in NXT. She was the anti-diva. She stood for everything against the traditional diva. You know,
she wasn't blonde. She wasn't tan.
Yeah, she wasn't a hot model or anything. She's hot, but she's not a model. She's not. You know, she's an actual wrestler.
She didn't strip a lot.
Yeah, and sayang lang, we could have seen that up in the main roster. It would have still worked.
I think it would have worked as well. Yeah,
still would have worked, because a lot of these, you know, the Bellas are models.
They're on E along with Summer Rae and the Funkadactyls and all that.
Alicia Fox was once a model. You know, it would have worked. It would have worked, talaga. Sayang lang that she doesn't get that kind of time. And it's weird, because, you know, the other ladies get time. You know, Summer Rae gets time. Layla gets time. Even the Funkadactyls get time to develop something.
Yeah.
And Paige has nothing.
And she's the champion. That's the worst part.
Yeah, Sayana. And I do want to see them call her one day the Banshee.
The Banshee, because of the Primal Scream.
Yeah, the Banshee Page, and she's as white as a ghost anyway.
Remember when Vicky Guerrero did that Primal Scream?
If we have the architect, Seth Rollins, the Demon Kane, we should have the Banshee Page.
Remember when Vicky did the Primal Scream? That was a heat magnet. But when Paige does the Primal Scream, for some reason, some people actually find it hot. I'm not one of those people, but some people do find it hot.
I think I do find it hot.
Damn.
I think it's hot.
Now, predictions for the match. Paige and Naomi, I think Paige retains.
Obviously, Paige retains. But I think Cameron turns on Naomi in this match.
Good call. I like that. I forgot
again,
about that.
Again, it's not something you'd care about.
It will happen.
But I'm sure it's going to happen.
Yeah, for storyline purposes, it will happen. All right, let's get to the tag team match for the tag team championship. If you haven't noticed, by the way, we're kind of predicting this in the order that we would like these matches to happen. I don't know, tag team championship or the ladder match.
I'm gonna predict that the Money in the Bank ladder match comes on first.
Right, because it has been that way in Una and Ring SmackDown before the Raw ladder match.
And it's not a bad formula. You always start the show with a solid match, and I think the championship contract match would be a nice place to start.
Right, so fine. Let's talk about the contract match, the ladder match for the contract. BNB, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Swagger, Kofi, RVD, and Rollins.
Honestly, it's Rollins and Ambrose's to lose. And either one of them. I don't know. I've been thinking about this ever since the match was final and was made final. But I don't know. It's really either Ambrose, Rollins, or Ziggler.
Uh-huh.
And Ziggler isn't there yet again. He's been regressed. But I can't tell between Rollins and Ambrose, who should be winning it.
You know what? I'm going to decide for you, and I'm going to say Seth Rollins. I would say Seth Rollins just because he's the authority's lapdog right now, and I think it would just make sense to get all this heat, much more heat for Seth Rollins if he had the championship contract,
yeah,
which he could cash in on at any time.
I know. Seth is the more obvious choice because I don't think Ambrose gives a shit about winning the contract.
And it kind of goes in line with his character as well. Like the loose cannon, the lunatic fringe, he doesn't care about that championship contract.
No, my thinking is while he's the obvious choice, will he actually win? The chances of him winning, I don't know. I don't know it.
Sayang, because if BNB were still in this match, I would have given it to him.
I don't think. Well, he's been strong lately.
Yeah. Like, I would have placed BNB, if he wasn't injured, as one of these serious candidates for this one.
Right. So, those are my three choices. Rollins, Ambrose, and Ziggler.
I would go with Seth Rollins. Just one choice. Any other choice would kind of surprise me to varying degrees, but I'm going to put my money on Rollins.
What if Kofi won this?
Are you serious, bro?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. What if Kofi wins?
Are you serious, bro? But no, I don't know. I think Kofi's ship has long sailed.
I know. I am just saying. Anyway, moving on to the tag team championship match, and you've forsaken that for the contract match. I think that the Wyatt family is taking home this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
But the catch is they're going to be trading it back and forth
uh-huh.
with the Usos. That's what I want to happen.
I don't know. I thought that I went into this thinking the Usos would actually win it. Yeah. I don't know. They've been built up as parang underdog sila ngayon, but they kind of have that legitimacy to them when you know that if they push the right buttons, they could actually beat the Wyatt family. Like, they're not as invincible and as indestructible as they come off.
The Usos are the best pure tag team, face tag team we've seen in a recent while.
Uh-huh.
I think that they're the best faces we've seen holding the tag team championships in a recent while. Even better than the Brotherhood, I would say.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because, I think they gel more together.
Because they're twins.
Yeah, because that's why I say they're the best pure team. As a team, they're the best faces we've had.
You know what I like about this feud, though? The Usos and the Wyatt family. It's a good spin-off from the Bray Wyatt-John Cena storyline mm-hmm. because originally the Usos only stuck their nose in the business of the Wyatt families because they tried to help out John Cena.
Right, and it's been written well. And I do think that the Wyatt family's time is now.
I hope that the storyline keeps going. Like, I wouldn't mind if they trade it around back and forth for a good while, but I still call the Usos winning this. And then the Wyatt family will probably win this come SummerSlam.
Okay, that's our first split decision. Luke Harper from Wyatt family for me and Usos for Stan.
How about the ladder match for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight Championship?
Honestly, I know some of you are not going to want to hear this, but I think it's either Orton's or Cena's to lose.
And we've heard that from many different people online, and that's fair. That's a fair assumption to make. The way I see things, though, is that a face and a heel splits the titles up again.
I know you want to see it.
I've been talking about this.
I know you want to see the championships separated again, but I told you, we've already talked about this. It's not going to work without a brand split.
I don't know. It's happened before. I mean, they tried to make it work before having two different world champions. And I think right now they kind of do need to have two world champions. I would really say a face and a heel, just split it if it's either Sheamus and Orton or Cena and Orton or, I don't know. Hell, Bray Wyatt could be, you know, could have one of those championships by the end of the night. I just don't think the people who I don't think will win for sure are ADR and Kane.
ADR and Kane, Cesaro isn't going to win for sure. Sheamus isn't going to win for sure. Bray isn't going to win for sure. So my top three is Cena, Orton, and the distant third, Roman Reigns.
I think that's a fair top three.
Really, really distant third, because I don't want Reigns to win this one yet.
Not yet. It's too soon. And I don't know. I would have been happier, though, if Roman Reigns was actually bumped down to the contract match.
Well, but that isn't the case.
It isn't the case. I know it.
We know they're fast tracking him to the main event sooner or later.
He got a fast pass.
But anyway, yeah, I don't think that anyone else is going to win this other than Cena or Orton.
All right.
And for what it's worth, I think that Orton has a bigger chance.
Okay. All right, so there you have it, our Money in the Bank predictions. Again, if you have any other predictions in mind, or if you have any other answers to our questions that we've been asking on the podcast, just tweet us. It's at Stan947.
At Roazwar.
Now let's close the podcast with this new segment that we're also introducing. We're going to call this the Pick of the Week. And the Pick of the Week is basically something from this past week in wrestling that we particularly want to highlight.
Exactly. And do you want to start or do I start this?
No, you can start this. Go.
All right. My pick of the week, I hope you've seen it on Raw, Dolph Ziggler versus Bad News Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship.
What a match that was.
What a match that was. On Raw, most of all, right?
Yeah.
And the finish, Bad News Bullhammer to the jumping face of Dolph Ziggler from out of nowhere. And I love finishes like that.
You love the Bullhammer. You've been marking out on the Bullhammer on the show, on the podcast for several weeks now.
Exactly.
I love how unpredictable the Bullhammer has become.
I love it even more when you don't, you know, when he doesn't hit it like full, you know, he's just standing in front of him, or he's, you know, running in front of him. He's Dolph Ziggler jumped on him and he hit the bull hammer from below. And that was awesome. That was an awesome visual.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if people can rank the bull hammer alongside the RKO now, because they're both surprise finishers and they're both impactful.
And people don't like the KO punch of Big Show.
Yeah.
But it's the same, essentially, as the Bullhammer.
Uh-huh.
But the Bullhammer just looks better.
It does look better. It looks great.
And Bad News Barrett has a good enough look, has a good enough size, has a good enough build to properly carry the Bullhammer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Now, the pick of the week, of course, we want to highlight this because if there was one thing you had to watch in wrestling this week, this would be it. So that's Rose. That's his pick of the week. Dolph Ziggler versus Bad News Barrett on Raw for the Intercontinental Championship.
Right.
My pick of the week was the Stephanie McMahon versus Vicky Guerrero storyline to open Raw and their subsequent match.
Okay.
And basically everything surrounding Vicky Guerrero and her departure from WWE.
Well, I did like the storyline because it did focus on Eddie.
It kind of focused on Eddie. It was a tasteful way of bringing Eddie Guerrero into the dialogue.
I'm not sure about tasteful, but it was a way to bring Eddie back. And
fine, it wasn't so tasteless. Remember in 06 when Randy Orton told Ray that Eddie was in hell? That was tasteless.
That was tasteless.
That was bad.
But this one was just...
It was okay. It was acceptable.
This one is acceptable because it also focused on Vicky. And Vicky was made to look strong in the end.
It was focusing on her legacy. You know how Eddie Guerrero has become the most popular Guerrero in the family ever, right?
More popular than Gory, I'd say.
But here's the thing. To this generation of wrestling fans, when you say Guerrero, hindi na si Eddie na alala nila.
Yeah, si Vicky na.
Si Vicky na. And that's something that you have to give to Vicky Guerrero. You have to give her credit for that. The fact that she took the Guerrero name and she made it her own for this generation of wrestling
fans. And Chavo is really sad that it's not him. Because Chavo's still alive.
It's rather unfortunate.
Nobody thinks of Chavo.
It is unfortunate. Pero diba, I mean, sure, parang kawawa si Chavo for that. But you have to give it to Vicky Guerrero for taking the Guerrero brand and making it her own. She first came off of the shadow of Eddie Guerrero, right?
I think with everything that Vicky has done so far, Eddie would be so proud.
He would be proud. And I love how she went out. She went out of Raw. She threw a kiss to the sky and she mouthed, "This is for you." That was touching.
And she did the dance.
She did the shimmy.
She did the shoulder shimmy.
And of course, she went in and went out with the Los Guerreros theme.
Viva la Raza!
Right. And And I really miss that theme, you know.
I do too, man.
It's been a really, really long time since I've heard that theme.
Used in wrestling.
Right, used in wrestling.
And it was a good story. I mean, Vicky came in as a villain. And then by the, you know, by the end of the opening segment, people were cheering for her. People wanted her to succeed. People wanted her to keep her job. People had sympathy, legit sympathy for Vicky Guerrero. And that's how you do a successful turn.
And that is a testament of how good a heel Stephanie McMahon is.
That's right. And the fact that, you know, she wouldn't let anyone do something she wouldn't do herself.
Right.
I mean, she got down and dirty.
They wrote that whole storyline well, I think.
It was very well written. You know what?
Might not be the most tasteful, but yes, well written.
You know what? I think my pick of the week, I would actually submit that as a must-watch Monday on our SGP Facebook group.
Okay, a must-watch Mondays for those who don't know, not in the group. That's when we show, you know, promos, matches, whatever have you.
Segments.
That we want other people, other fans to see.
And not just fans, but newcomers. If you were going to introduce wrestling to somebody,
right.
This is something you start off with.
Right, that's right.
And I think it's good because at the end of the day, wrestling is a story. We mm-hmm. tell stories through wrestling, and it was just a great story. It's something that I will keep talking about in the foreseeable future. Vicky Guerrero, thank you so much for 9 great years, you know, for entertaining us all these years, and we're going to miss the Guerrero name.
Thank you, Vicky. Thank you, Vicky, so much. At first, we never thought it would amount too much, but wow, she has come such a long way.
You've proved yourself so much in front of the eyes of these wrestling fans, and we love you all so much for it. And I guess that's going to do it for the SGP podcast this week.
Right. So much has happened this episode.
I know.
Can you believe that?
We actually have a lot of structure, and we've managed to keep it kind of tight still.
Yeah, please let us know if you like everything we've been doing. If you agree, disagree, whatever have you. If you have any opinions at all about what we've talked about on this episode, please do let us know.
Do tweet us. It's at Stan947.
At Roazwar, again.
We're also on Facebook. You can access our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/SmartGilasPilipinas. And we're on iTunes, finally.
Right. If you're not listening to this on iTunes, because if you might be listening to this on SoundCloud or whatever, go to iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in the search box, the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast, subscribe to it, and download it all for free.
It's all for free. So, yeah, thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. We're going to enjoy Money in the Bank in a few days.
Right. I hope you do, too.
And we're also going to enjoy Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, and NXT, and all of the wrestling shows that happen throughout the week. We're going to catch you again next week. Thank you so much. Sayonara.
Peace.